I do want to encourage you. On those Sundays when you don't have an opportunity to be with us, I do want to encourage you to get the tapes and listen to them for a very important reason. One thing builds on top of another that builds on another that builds on another. And as a general rule, things work in a flow, and I want us to be able to keep up with the flow of what's going on. A couple of weeks ago, I had to be in Knoxville for a meeting, and I had asked Bryce if he would speak for me while I was gone. I heard when I got back that Bryce had done a really good job, and so I got my copy of it on CD, and this past week I listened to it twice, and after the first time, I told Michelle, I said, "You have got to listen to this. This is some really good stuff." And then I listened to it the second time. And the second time I listened to it, I wrote down what I call bullet points. Now, let me give you the premise from which I'm coming from this morning. My premise is this: when God tells us to do something, number one, He doesn't change His mind. He doesn't come back and go, "Oh, well, you know, I should have never asked you to do that. You're not able to do it, I can see." You know, now we do that because we don't know what people can and can't do. But when God tells us to do something, we may think we can't do it, but God knows that we can. So God never comes back after He asks us to do something. I actually prefer the word tell. Sometimes it comes in a suggestive manner. But you can bet that what makes Him God is that He doesn't make suggestions. Okay? So when He tells us something, He intends for us to do it. The second premise here is this: until we start moving in the direction God's called us to move, He doesn't talk to us anymore. Until we demonstrate a faithfulness in the area that God has commanded us to be faithful in, He waits on us to exercise that faithfulness. It's like a lot of times people will come to pastors and they'll say, "I want you to pray for me. I need a word from God." What they are really saying is, "I didn't like the last word. Will you pray and see if I can get a different one?" And the problem is that God won't give us a different one. God, you know, when He said in His Word that He does things decently and in order, He didn't mean by the bulletin. Now, see, that's what we used to think. We used to think it meant by the bulletin. That's why we conduct our worship services that way, so that everything would be done decently and in order. That's not what He meant. What He meant is that spring is always after winter, and it's followed by summer, and then there's a fall. And He never interrupts that chain. When He says to me, "Don, this is the place where I'm moving you to now," He doesn't give me a vote as to whether or not I want to go there. I exercise sometimes, well, I started to say I exercise a right, but it's not really a right. I exercise some rebellion sometimes and drag my feet in getting there. Hello? Y'all being real quiet, like, "I don't know what he's talking about." Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You see, in the kingdom of God, you have two choices. You can come quietly, or you can come screaming. But the choice of not coming is not yours. Well, we certainly started off on a very... Okay, thank you, Charlie. I appreciate it. And what I heard and what Bryce said was, I heard him say in a more compact form, this is what God has called us to be. Are we listening? This is what God has called us to do. Are we hearing? And I thought that before we took another step, I wanted us as a group to make sure that we understood where we were going. Remember the Sunday that I asked you everybody to point north? Everybody stand up, close your eyes, and point north. There were fingers going in every direction. Well, if I say we're going north, and you start heading that way, you're going the wrong way. North is that way. That's north. And if we're all going to move together, we all got to know where we're going. So what I'm going to do is I took these bullet points off of Bryce's message the other day and wrote them down and I'm going to try to flesh them out just a little bit this morning. Attitude. Remember Bryce started off by saying, I get accused of believing that things are better than they are. He said, but I believe that if you're breathing in and exhaling out, things are better. Ladies and gentlemen, attitude is 90% of what it is we either accomplish or don't accomplish in our lives. Until the Holy Spirit comes along and tweaks our attitude, we're not moving forward corporately, or are we moving forward individually? And see, here's the thing, guys. What we think is we think that on Judgment Day, God judges the church for what we do. Nothing is further from the truth than that. God does not judge the church for what we do. God judges the church for why did we do it. You see, He's the searcher of the thoughts and the intents of a man's heart. There are people who are standing, well, not now because it's so late, but there are people standing preaching this morning who were never called to the pulpit by God, but were called by their mother or their grandmother, their heritage, or simply because there's a lot of people who are in the pastorate ministry because it is their vocational choice. So God doesn't judge what it is they do and go, well, I have to reward them. They preached. He judges why we do what it is we do. You see, our attitude is what you get judged on. That's how important our attitude is. Not, did I help Samima out when she needed help, but why did I help her? Or why didn't I? And let me say this about things being better than they are, Bryce. You keep that up. Because things are better than they are. It's all a matter of what it is you want to look at. Do I want to sit and focus on all that's bad? Or do I want my vision to be lifted and look a little higher and see, you know, that things could be worse? You know why people commit suicide? Not because the problem's so big that death is the only way out. But because they have so focused on the problem, they have convinced themselves that death is the only way out. Whatever it is we focus on, we become the focus of our attention. See, that's why unforgiveness is such a terrible thing. Because whoever it is I choose to not forgive, the longer I carry the grudge, the more like that person I become. That's not true. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. We become the focus of our attention, which is why what our focus needs to be is on Jesus. Because the more we focus on Him, the more like Him we become. But if I focus on those who've hurt me, I become a hurtful person. Things are better. There are times when my chin's dropped and my wife will say to me, you know, we have been in times worse than this. The second bullet point I pulled out was God has said. Bryce made this comment. People are interested in what God has said and God has done to you. People are interested in what God has said and God has done to you. And you know, here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. You can, I'm trying to think of a word, ballyhoo. You can ballyhoo something that God has done in my life. It doesn't take away from what I believe about what God's done in my life. Let me give you an example. Well, in fact, this is a pretty good example. When I was a senior in high school, I was supposed to have some knee surgery. And this was when the PTL Club was just getting started, and they had a big rally at Ovens Auditorium. And I remember it like as if it happened yesterday. And I had volunteered to be an usher, and I was standing in the back of Ovens Auditorium when God touched my knee that was in constant pain and healed my knee. I went to the doctor the week after that. He took x-rays. He almost hurt my knee trying to find what it was God had healed. Said to me what happened, and I told him God had healed me, and he said, I don't believe in that. How many of you know? Well, I didn't look at him and go, well, you know, I guess it didn't happen because you don't believe it. The medical record chart actually states, customer, I'm thinking about my business, patient said. But I want you to know something. I'm a long ways from 18 now. And you can say you don't believe God heals and you don't believe it happened, and you cannot rob me of it. You cannot rob me of it. And you see, what happens is that people are interested in what God has said and what God has done to us, because when we are communicating what God has said and what God has done, it is real inside of us. And that's what people recognize. They recognize real. People recognize a fraud and a fake, and they recognize real. And you can tell me you don't believe till the cows come home and my knee is still healed. Bryce said, in what do you have your trust? In this, and the second question was, in this life, what do you hope for? Man, now there's two questions right there we could just stop, go home, meditate on all week. What do you hope for in this life? And in what do you have your trust? That is two powerful questions. And let me tell you something. If those answers are not answers tied to eternity, your vision is too short. Well, I'm hoping to get a new car. I'm hoping to get married. I'm hoping to buy a house. Your vision's too short. What we should be hoping for, is that the right word I'm looking for? What we should be hoping for in this life, what we should be trusting in, what I hope for in this life is to please Jesus with my life. Who I trust in this life and who's twisting my arm for me to trust Him more is still Jesus. Now, all the other things, you know... I had a visit from my boss on Wednesday, and I was actually hoping that when he left, I was still going to have my job. There was some question about that. But thank the good Lord, when he did leave, I did still have it. There are some things that concern us, and we are hoping that they're going to turn out best. But in the end, where is my hope placed, and where is my trust? Now, this bullet point I called thinking outside the box. This is the way Bryce put it. Bryce said it like this. He said, we've got to stop thinking in one dimension. He said, not everything is black and white. Now, in religion, everything is black and white. But in Christianity, not everything's black and white. He said, in one of our Bible studies, we put a chair in the room and I said, what do you see? Now, boy, that was good. Okay? If I take this chair and I set it up here and I say, what do you see? You say something uncomfortable. All right, well, that's definitely one perspective. I see a chair. What else do you see? I see a place to rest. I see plastic and metal. I see something I don't want to have to move any more often than I have to. I see, you know, we could go around the room and there probably be 50 different things that we see. What I'm trying to point out to you is this. We've got to think outside the box. We have to understand that our opinion and what it is we see is not the only opinion or the only thing to be seen. What happens is, especially in the church, is we begin to think to ourselves, well, it's always been this way, so it should always be this way. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in an entirely different society. We're in an entirely different culture. Lamplight Church is being challenged in ways that it has never been challenged before. In fact, in its ministry directive and focus and attention is different than it has ever been in its entire 27-28 year history. The way we've always done things won't work anymore. Well, then how are we going to do things? You know, I wished I had the answer to that question. All I can ask God for is today. What do you want today? Things you don't know will hurt you. You know, let me say this, ladies and gentlemen. Gosh, let me use my board. This is the teacher gift coming out, Dad. Where's balance? It's always in the middle. Balance is always in the middle. Let's talk about the subject of fear. I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden there's a bunch of dust on children and cars and a daycare center about 3/4 of a mile from my house. Hazmat gets called. Parents are running their children to the hospital. And y'all didn't hear about this on the news? Okay, on the news, there was some dust spread over top of a daycare center in Monroe, and the whole city went berserk. Okay? Now, I'm sitting at home, and I've got family involved in this. My daughter-in-law's sister actually works there. And I'm sitting there going, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Phone's ringing off the hook. What's going on? Yeah, 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 yeah. And I'm like, this is Monroe. This is not Atlanta, Miami, Los Angeles, New York. There are no, in fact, here's the story. A plane flew over the daycare and dropped a white powder. That's how the story got started. And I'm like, we're in Monroe. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that Osama bin Laden cares about a daycare center in Monroe. He don't even know where Monroe is. Now then, all of a sudden, we're calling Hazmat down to the Y down here on Moorhead Street because of cement dust. Here's what I'm saying. For us to jump at every white powder out of fear is stupid. I am not going to live my life being stupid. I don't want my wife walking in the bathroom going, oh, there's white powder, and it be body talc. You know what I'm saying? I went into one of my houses last week and there was a white powder on one of the steps. I didn't call Hazmat. so that I could shut my business down for 2 or 3 days. Get a vacation. Now, it is also stupid, if I can use that word, to be on the other end of,
well, you know, nothing's ever going to happen to me. After all, I am the Batman.
You know, there is a certain amount of caution that has to be exercised. But the other end of that is that we, especially as the children of God, don't have to run scared. And I refuse to run scared. As a matter of fact, my personal feeling is this. If you're going to bring me any harm, just kill me. Because seeing Jesus is better than living here. Don't hurt me and leave me. Just go ahead and do me in. Do you realize that for me, all the hell I catch here is all the hell I'm catching? It only gets better from here. Anybody be offended if I tell you my Osama joke? So Osama shows up in heaven. He walks up to Peter and he says,
I want to see Allah.
Peter says, not a problem. Come on with me. And they're walking along. All of a sudden, Peter stops and he says, Osama. He says, look at this crystal sea. Is this not the most beautiful sea you've ever seen in your entire life?
I not care. I want to see Allah.
Not a problem. We're going. We're going. They walk on a little bit further. And Peter comes to a stop and he says, look at this city. Is this just not the most beautiful city you ever saw in your life? And Osama goes,
I not care. I want to see Allah.
We're going. We're going. Just hang on. So they walk on a little bit further. And Peter opens up a door and they walk in. And Peter says, Osama, I want you to meet Jesus. Jesus, this is Osama. Osama says,
I not care. I want to see Allah.
And Jesus says, oh, that's not a problem. He'll be back in just a minute. He went to get me something to drink. Because we know who God is. Amen. Amen. We know who's serving who. Things you don't know can hurt you, but we don't need to be living in fear. Okay, I'm not buying a radar machine to put in my house to run the mail through. Okay? I'm not. I've got an opportunity. I won a trip to Acapulco, Mexico through my work for January. I'm not going to stay home because I got to get on a plane. How many of you know there is someone who knows when I'm coming home? And I'm going to live I'm not going to live foolishly. Alrighty? Not going to live foolishly. That's stupidity on one end. But I'm not going to run in fear on the other end either. Because you see, I understand that my life is not mine. I've been bought with a price. And if Jesus can't protect me, then I can't be protected. Yeah, well, I won't even go there. Bryce kept saying, unity is a must. Unity is a must. And it is. The verse that haunts me, one of the verses that haunts me, is where where God looked down on the people before He separated us by tongues. They were endeavoring to build a tower to get to heaven. And God spoke to God while the three of them were together and said, we're going to have to do something with them people down there because in their unity, nothing is impossible to them. We can use unity either for good or for bad. What I want to see us as a church do is to use unity so that nothing that God calls us to is impossible to us. In order for there to be that unity, Bryce said, there has to be a shared vision. A shared vision. We all got to jump on board, be moving together. We have to reach out and claim the vision. as though it were our own and make it our own. He said, if God were to bring 100 children to the church next Sunday, could we handle it? What's the answer? No. Which is why we're working on the structure. We need to remember, ladies and gentlemen, that the boat was built before the animals came. The boat was built before the animals came. And we're currently working on the structure to put together the framework so that when the 100 children come, which I believe they're coming. Okay, 3 of us do. When the 100 children come, that the structure will be there to hold them. Let me tell you this. Let me go back to attitude. If you don't believe they're coming, they won't. But to steal a line from the movie, if you'll build it, they will come. But if we don't believe God for it, God won't be able to trust us with it. He talked about new direction. New direction. Somehow or another, in our human minds, we judge things as good and bad, right and wrong. But just because something is new doesn't mean that what was old was bad. We just simply change in the course of our lives. Hopefully, as we grow and mature and our outlook on things becomes different. You know, when I was in my early 20s, every argument was an argument worth winning. Every battle was a battle worth dying for. Don Quixote lives again. As I've gotten older, I've realized there are some battles just not worth fighting. There are some things I look at and go, you know, in the course of eternity, this is not going to make a hill of beans worth a difference. That 10 years from now, nobody will ever remember it. 20 years ago, that thought never crossed my mind. Everything was a crusade. Some of you going, yeah, I remember. The words of life. This is how Bryce put it. He said, if you're not where God wants you, you can't function. Because if you're not where God wants you, the man you're listening to deliver the words of preach the gospel to you doesn't have for you what you need. And that is exactly right. See, we choose our churches by what they do for us. God chooses our churches by what He wants to do in us. One of my pet peeves is the statement that goes, oh, I don't know. Service wasn't too good today. I didn't get anything out of it. Well, excuse me. The question was, what did you put in? Therein lies the question. It's kind of like, let me just warn you of this so that nobody will do it, okay? It's kind of like when people who know that I'm trying to lose some weight, and how much weight have you lost? Well, I've lost 13 out of the 30 I'm shooting for. Well, you know, those first few pounds is all just water weight. Well, thank you for that statement. The last person to say that to me, I looked at them and I said, well, if water weight is so easy to lose, why have you still got yours? Don't come along and boo-haw on my parade. I'm proud of every one of them 13 pounds. I don't care if it's water or fat or meat or that I took my shoes off the second time I weighed. I don't care. It's still gone. But see, we always want our minds to run towards the negative. If our child is supposed to be home at 11, and at 11:10 they're not there, well, they're running a little late. At 11:20, they've had a flat tire. At 11:30, oh, they're dead, they're in a ditch somewhere. We got to get in the car and go find them. Because you see, our minds always run towards the negative. It's called sin nature. Well, I think we talked about that last week. Bryce said, you need to pray for your pastor. Where's Keith? Keith told me last Sunday that he had gone to a seminar or symposium or something on worship. And he said that while he was there, the Lord really didn't talk to him about worship. The Lord taught him about praying for his pastor. Let me say this, ladies and gentlemen. My sister's been living with us a couple, 3 months, something like that. And she says to me quite often, I don't know how much longer you can keep this up. I say to her, honey, I've been doing this for 10 years. You're just now seeing it. I don't like the way things are in my life right now, but things are the way they are right now. And every waking moment of my days, there's not something that's pulling me. There's five things pulling me. The 10 to 11 hours that I spend at my office every day, there's never one thing going on. If I call and talk to Marcia for 5 minutes, there's two calls on hold, a salesperson sitting across the desk, and a contractor standing in the office, in the lobby. And it's that way all day long. I go to lunch for an hour, I come back, there are 12 phone messages. It is the most unbelievable juggling act you ever saw. For about 3 or 4 weeks, Michelle and I have been at each other's throats. And the things we've been nicking at each other about got nothing to do with the problem. And Friday, I had had to go out for a while to check on a problem at work. Another one. And I called her up and I said, I'm pulling up right in front of the sales center. Come out and jump in the car. Let's go to lunch. And we went to Sonic so that we could sit in the car and nobody hear us. And just determined we're going to get to the bottom of this thing. And you know what the bottom was? I miss you. I've been running everywhere. She's been taking Anna to colleges every weekend. We passed like two ships in the night. And when the conversation got down, once all the was over with, out of both of us.
Tell them, Daddy. Yeah.
What it all boiled down to was, is I miss you and I don't like the way we're living. That's why, come Thursday afternoon, we out of here. We out of here. And we're not telling anybody where we're going. South. That's it. Yeah, and then we're going to go north. I do need for you to pray for me. We have a lot of concerns. I mean, I really did think Wednesday I was about to lose my job. And I was very surprised I didn't. We have children who are not where we would like for them to be. Anybody else say amen? And I pray hard about this church because I want us to do what it is God wants us to do. Then Bryce went on to say that the most important thing this church has is our relationships to each other. Is our relationships with each other. You see, that was the selling point I used with the elders yesterday. When I said, let's not have one dinner halfway between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Let's have two. Because what we need is time after church, standing around, talking, hugging necks, and sharing the table with each other. Because the jewel of Lamplight Church is family without exclusion. Family without exclusion. We are a family, but if you want to join the family, the doors are open. And so are the arms, and so are the hearts. It is the diamond that we have. I just titled this bullet point, Victory. This is what Bryce actually said. With the teaching that we've received in this church, there's not a single person here who doesn't know how to put the devil in his place. You know, that's exactly right. Now, here's where the 15-yard clipping penalty comes in, okay? If the devil's not in his place in your life, it's not because you don't know what to do. It is not because we don't know what to do. It's because we're not doing it. I got a phone call yesterday saying, I have someone that I'm concerned about who's in need of deliverance ministry. Can we help? The people who were normally handling that sort of thing for us are not here. And I took the request to the elders this morning and they jumped on it like hens who jump on a cricket in a hen house. Because we know how to put the devil in his place. Amen. He then asked this question. What is stopping the overflow blessing? What is stopping the overflow blessing? Truthfully, ladies and gentlemen, I hear a rumble. I hear a rumble. It hasn't crashed on us, but I hear it coming. Let me tell you something. If you will just pause and think over the last, let's say, 90 days of how many people in our church you know, you've heard them testify that God has healed them. I believe it is the trickle before the dam breaks. And let me tell you something about healing, ladies and gentlemen. I have enough talent and enough gifting to produce an emotional response that would make us all feel good. But I can't heal you no matter how much I want to. And it's God touching and healing that is a confirmation of His anointing. But here was the next question he asked us. Can God trust us? Can God trust us? Can He trust us with what we have? To answer that question, I'm going to go to number 16. I'm not. Oh, I think one of them's out of order. All right, let me skip all the way down to 17 then. I'll hit them both. Can God trust us? Well, I'll just combine all three together. Can God trust us? Remember the story about the bamboo tree? That for 5 years it's watered and it's fertilized and it doesn't grow at all. And in the sixth year it grows 90 to 100 feet. He said he saw it on the Learning Channel or Discovery Channel or something like that. What God wants to know is while I'm watering you and fertilizing you and you're not seeing growth, can I still trust you that you're going to be there when the sixth year does come around? Amen. He said, I have a friend, we went out to the racetrack. We adjusted the carburetor and we did some test runs. He went on to say, God doesn't put us through test runs so that God can know whether or not we're adjusted. We go through test runs so that we'll know we're adjusted correctly. We're going to have some. We're going to have those times when things don't seem to be moving. Not moving as fast as we want. Things come along that not necessarily we agree with or wish were happening. But God's watching. God's watching. Not because He doesn't know what to expect. Because He does. But so that we can learn. Bryce said, if we'll consider God, God will consider us. Isn't that a wonderful thing about our God? If we'll consider Him, He'll consider us. He then said, we might be listening, but are we hearing? That is two entirely different things. We might be listening, but are we hearing? And then He gave us the definition for how we know we're hearing. He said, if you hear, you'll exercise your faith and do. If you hear, not if you listen, if you hear, you'll exercise your faith and you'll do. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. This is the way Bryce put it. If God gave it to you, it's still His. If He asked you to give it away, you'd better. We got to get to a place where it doesn't matter. Because if it matters, it's something between you and God. If God gave it to you, it's His. Not yours. Still His. If He asked you to give it away, you'd better. We got to get to a place where it doesn't matter. Because if it matters, it's something between you and God. I believe that Jesus despises irresponsibility. He said, I'm going to give you five, and I'm going to give you three, and I'm going to give you one, and I'll be back. And when He came back, the five said, I've made it 10. The three said, I made it 6. The one said, I took this thing and I buried it. But at least I didn't lose it. Here it is back. And Jesus didn't go, well, good. Man, I'm glad you didn't lose it. No, He jumped His case. He didn't give it to us for us to hold on to it. He gave it to us for us to use it that it would produce more. See, when we get back, and some of you who missed this one 2 weeks ago, you need to get the sermon titled WIIFM. That stands for What's in It for Me. That's how most Christians serve God. They serve God wanting to know what's in it for me. And if there's not anything in it for me, if God doesn't jump, run, and fetch when I want Him to jump, run, and fetch, then I get mad at God. Quit going to church, quit praying. Quit reading His Bible. And the gospel is not what's in it for us. I said, the gospel is not about what's in it for us. The gospel is about what's in it for Him. It's the Lamb who's worthy of His reward. Everything I got needs to belong to Him. See, I have this. I'll start to say I did have, but I don't want to lie to you. I have this wrestling problem. And I remember some years ago when I was praying. And God said, can I talk to you for a second? Don't you hate those questions? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, you've got to stop being so possessive of your stuff. And you know what I said? I'm not. He said, okay, good. He told me three people and three things and said, I want you to give them away. I said, are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? That's my stuff. And you know what? He never responded to that. Things got quiet. That's the way he treats me. Just got dead quiet. Because he done said all he had to say. And now, it's somebody else's turn. And I'm not going to tell you I jumped up from my place of prayer and did it. Because I'd be lying. I did get it done. But I wrestled with that thing because one of those things, the person he asked me to give it to, they didn't deserve it. And I'm telling you that right now. They don't deserve it. What I got's too good for them to have. I just know it. But how many of you know that was not the question in God's mind? And I had to wrestle over that thing, but I finally got to the point. And they said to me, why are you giving me this? I said, because God told me to. And they were just so grateful, which in their selfish nature I knew they would be. But you see, I needed to give it more than they needed to get it. Don't you hate them lessons? Not really, but yes, really. Bryce said, if I was putting together a motor and each of you had a part, if you didn't bring your part, we couldn't get the motor to run. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the truth. Everybody's got a part. God, I believe, has done His weaning out. And every one of us is a vital and important part to what it is God's doing in a place called Lamplight and the part of the kingdom that He wants to establish here. Then he went on to say, they got a motor out that doesn't have a distributor. And I said, how does that work? And I got to reading, and I found out how it works. You know, I don't know this for a fact, ladies and gentlemen, but I'd be willing to bet that for 6,000 years of human history, man didn't fly because the church said man can't fly.
God had intended for man to fly to give him wings.
But there was a couple of preacher's kids. They were preacher's kids. A couple of preacher's kids decided that maybe man can fly. It is only until we believe that it can be done and stop listening to the naysayers who say it can't be done will we move forward to accomplish great things in the kingdom. Let me show you something. And for the person who gave me this, thank you for your illustration. For this illustration. Last Sunday's sermon, I handed out a blank piece of paper. This is what I got back from one person. See all the art and stuff all around? And there's the sermon notes right there in the middle with the little break in the middle that we took. And you see all that? Some people said, blank piece of paper, and stuck it up under their chair. Some people said, blank piece of paper, and just didn't write anything down. Some people saw a blank piece of paper and said, I can make something out of this. It all boils back to your attitude.
Well, I thought we were going to get something with something on it. I don't like for it to be different.
This person said, hey, different's great. Look what I can do. So it's all how you approach it. Now, of course, actually what I said to this person was, you should have been paying attention rather than doodling.
Yeah.
But in reality, we got to think about engines running without carburetors. That's the last one there, wholeheartedly. We got to think about engines running without, not carburetors, distributors. You know, just because all motors I've ever looked at had a distributor doesn't mean the motor has got to have a distributor. Just because every church I've ever been to or everywhere I've ever been, I've never heard of that before, doesn't mean that it's not a good idea. How many times have God-birthed visions and dreams gotten shot down because somebody said, I ain't never heard of that before? Now, let me warn you about that one, too. I already told you, don't tell me about weight loss being associated with water because I'll hurt your feelings, okay? But don't ever tell me either. I'm just going to warn you up front so we can stay friends. Don't say to me, I ain't never heard that before, because I'm going to ask you, well, what made you the expert that heard everything? But somehow or another, people think that because they haven't heard of it, it's not a good idea. I don't remember you knowing all there is to know. You got to give me something different than I ain't never heard of that before. But how many times do we sit in the mire of complacency and in the trap of familiarity because we never thought, can an engine run without a distributor? Can the church do this, do that? And let me tell you something that I thought about while I was going over this, okay? Some of you may be sitting there going, okay, Don, we hear all of that, and we're wondering what it is you do have planned you ain't told us yet. Well, let me tell you, I don't have anything planned. I don't have a thing. All I'm asking us to do is to open up our hearts and our minds so that when God speaks, we're ready to move. That's all I'm asking for. I don't have something freaky that I'm headed towards or some idea I'm trying to work you at. But whenever God comes along and says, this is what I want for you to do. Now, any church that would march out the door and gather around the dumpster and throw trash in it and sing and pray will pretty much do about anything. Okay? People riding by, the church secretary parked on the side of the church going, what are them people doing? We were having ourselves a time, weren't we? We'll pretty much do anything. But that's exactly what I'm saying. Any group who will come in and in the middle of doing something else, stop and go, all right, let's all gather around the walls, let's hold our hands up. That's all I'm asking for. You know, I'm not going to introduce rattlers and see who's got faith. Okay, because I'm pretty convinced that's got nothing to do with your faith. Okay? I think that gets back to my word up here, stupidity. All righty? I'm not talking about introducing snakes or anything like that. But if God says stand around the walls and hold your hands up and pray. If God says march out to the dumpster and write down the trash that's in your life, wad it up and take it to the trash can. We're going to write it down, wad it up and take it to the trash can. That if He says take it to the streets, we take it to the streets. We first say, what street? How do you want it taken to that street? When do you want it taken to that street? And when He tells us when, what, and how, that we don't have to come along and listen to, I don't know about this. I ain't never thought about this before. It's amazing how God didn't stop and think, I wonder if I need to ask Don about this. You know what I'm saying? Or anybody else. Somehow or another, He made the assumption that being God gave Him the right to dictate what will and will not happen. Now, all I'm asking of myself, yes. Well, all I'm asking of myself and of our body is that when He does speak and it is clear, that we don't step up and go, well, wait a minute now, God. I see, and I say that and we go, I'd never do that, and yet we do it every day in our lives. So, don't, you know, check your religion at the door. Check your religion at the door. Because we don't need it in here. We every day second guess God. We every day second guess God. And all I'm saying is that when He tells us to move, we need to be ready to move. So the altar call this morning is this. Will you pray with me? Will you pray for me? But will you also pray with me? God, make my heart pliable. Whatever it is you say, whatever it is you want out of me personally and out of us corporately, I trust you, I'll follow. Now, we're not going to drink Kool-Aid in Africa. Was it Africa? South America, wherever it was. We ain't drinking Kool-Aid. Okay, we're not talking about that kind of stupid stuff. We're not going to wrap ourselves, what was it, in a purple cloth and lay with all of our heads facing because we want to join the Halley's Comet. Now, I'm not talking about that kind of ridiculousness. I'm talking about reaching out to a society that's different from any other society in all of history with ways that are different than the church has ever used before to say to a lost and dying, fearful world, Jesus is Lord. That's all we want to say. What's your question? He's your answer. Makes no difference what the question is. Remember a couple weeks ago? I am. He is, I am. All you do is ask the question, and He is it. Will you allow the Holy Spirit to make your heart pliable and willing that whatsoever you ask of me, Lord, I want to be found faithful. Let's pray. God, we come at this time to consider You. And we thank You that we know that according to Your Word, that You are considering us, that Your thoughts towards us are good and not evil. Father, I ask You to make my heart and my mind and the heart and mind of every person here pliable and usable by Your Holy Spirit. That You can speak to us Your dreams and Your vision for our lives individually as well as corporately, and that You will instill in us by Your Holy Spirit the courage to believe You for its fulfillment. We thank You for how great a God You are and for Your greatness, goodness, and grace over our lives. Father, trim the wick. Turn up the flame. That is this lamp in Your kingdom. And we purpose in our hearts and declare to each other and to the heavenlies right now that Jesus will receive all the honor and all the glory. For it's in His name that we pray. Amen.